Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, paddle fever has officially taken hold in South Africa. It's the country's fastest growing and I understand most mispronounced sport. We're going to get into that in just a moment. Now, since arriving here in 2020, if I'm not mistaken, this hybrid of squash and tennis really has exploded. Listen to this. Over 100,000 players, 206 clubs, 600 courts, mostly concentrated in the affluent areas of Gauteng and the Western Cape. But while the courts are full and the sport is booming, there's a bigger question at play here. Is this a sustainable investment or another short-lived trend? Investors are piling in, but are they making smart long-term bets or about find themselves in a financial pickle? And you'll excuse the pun there. So let's separate fact from hype. We're joined by Brandon de Kock. He's been on the program with us before, director of storytelling at data research company BrandMap, and he's been tracking the numbers behind South Africa's boom in the sport. Brandon, a very warm welcome. Let's settle it first. How do we pronounce this?
Hi there, Jeremy. Well, that's a good one. You know, I remember having dinner a while back when somebody said that they'd just come back from the Himalayas and getting into a feverish argument about the Himalayas or the Himalayas.
Yeah.
I think technically it is padel, yeah, but only if you're Spanish. You know what I mean? I think paddle is probably better. Technically, it would be padel. But come on, I mean, you know, I think we can all just call it paddle. It sounds a bit better. Rolls off the tongue a little easier.
Yeah, otherwise I was going to have to put a lisp on every question I asked you, which would have been very difficult. So let's settle on paddle. But seriously, though, the rapid growth of the sport is undeniable. But the question is, a long-term trend, or like so many other things we've seen, is it just a social craze that could fizzle out?
Yeah, I think it's a million-dollar question or the million-rand question, because the reality is that it's coming off a tiny base, right? I mean, you're talking about we only started measuring it for the first time about 3 years ago, and out of the whole brand map audience, so that's, you know, 13.5 million consumer class South Africans, less than 1% even ticked a box to say they were interested in it. Right now, we're sitting at about 4.5% of people saying that they're actually playing. That number right now is probably sitting, we're estimating it at probably just over 300,000, maybe between 300 and 350,000 active players. Mm. It's not a huge amount. It's still a very elite sport, you know? So my simple answer to the question is, if it breaks out of the wealthy suburbs, you know, the places where you can turn tennis courts into paddle courts, or you can turn the old bowling greens into paddle courts, I think it's got a super good chance. You know, that's what's happened in South America and a lot of countries. But in some of the sort of Scandi countries and the more wealthy European places, it looks like it's stuck in the elite, and it seems stuck in the elite right here. So right now, the way things are going, it might be pushing up against a ceiling. It'll be really interesting to see what happens if the game expands out of the leafy suburbs, though.
So what you're also telling me is that potentially there is untapped demand, but something's got to change within the dynamic.
Yeah, I think so. You know, when we first started tracking, the real story was all about the Gauteng versus Cape Town thing. So, you know, the game started officially in Cape Town. When I say Cape Town, it started at Val d'Avie Golf Estate. You know, it's hardly a lower middle income area.
I was gonna say, go figure,
Yeah, exactly. So Cape Town, 2 years ago, Cape Town had a disproportionate amount of paddle players relative to the rest of the country. Over the course of last year, we started tracking where the new courts are being built, and there's 100% validation of the theory that paddle abhors a vacuum, clearly, because what we've seen is where all the courts were being built, the players have been sucked up into them. So we now see an almost 100% correlation between the provincial spread of paddle players and where the courts actually are. So yeah, I think it's probably reaching the point now where it may be saturated. That's certainly from some of the reports I'm reading. There are paddle court owners who are perhaps a little disappointed in the fact that they're not booked out, you know, 12 operating hours of the day. Then you hear other stories from country clubs. I was at Bryanston 2 weeks ago, and you know, you've got to book 2 months ahead at Bryanston apparently to get a weekend paddle slot. So Yeah, I think where it sits right now, it's maybe reaching some sort of a ceiling, but cheapers, you know, there's so much room to growth, for growth.
So let's talk about that growth. Do you have a view on how it could expand out of the so-called elite areas and achieve a wider footprint?
Yeah, I think it's like a McDonald's. You know, if you build it, they will come. I think the barriers to entry for the game are relatively low. You know, it's not, you don't need a high level of skill to be able to play the game and enjoy it. It's not golf. You know, it's not even tennis. It's a different sport completely. So the barrier to entry on a skill level is very low. The cost is not prohibitive. You know, a couple of $100 for four people to book a court. I certainly think there's scope to start getting lower down the income triangle. But you've got to build the courts where people can get to them. Right now, it still seems to me I don't have a really good view of the whole footprint. But it does seem to me that I'm not driving through sort of the township areas and seeing a lot of paddle courts going up. So that's what the mechanism. Super simple. Like, build the courts in places where people can access them. Keep the cost relatively low. And well, not relatively low, but just accessible. And I think the game's got a good chance, you know.
But having said that, the courts themselves, I understand, are not cheap to build.
Well, as far as I know, it's about a single court's probably about half a bar, and there's a sort of a scale of economy going up from that. So I've heard figures of sort of 1.2 million rand for a three court setup. So yes, that's a proper investment. But if you put the thing in the right place where there's frequent foot flow or frequent padel flow, there's no reason why it shouldn't be a decent business, you know.
And just a quick one: a lot of new leisure sports start to thrive when corporates get involved. Are we at the point where major brands and sponsors are placing a bet on this?
Jeremy, we published a thing called the Paddle Report, which we've sold multiple times now, and it's all to top-end brands and top-end plays. I think there's an immediate recognition that it's almost like the paddle ball seems to have taken a big chunk out of the, let's call it the golfer mountain biking market. I don't know whether it's taking a chunk out of it. I think it's in addition to. So it still is something, you know, you still have to have the time on your hands to get in your car and drive to a paddleball court. It's still an elite activity in the sense that you need the time apart from anything to be able to do it. But yes, right now it seems like it's your sort of the financial brands and a bit of banking and a bit of investment and premium goods and services seem to be taking a serious interest.
It just leaves me to say, Brandon, gracias. And appreciate your time, Director of Storytelling and Data Research at the company BrandMap.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.